Hey, Ryan, since you're not going to the game, where are you planning on watching the Wildcats?
I'll be stuck at the office, but I wish I could be lounging at home in front of my TV.
Yeah, me too. I've been thinking about getting like a big comfy recliner from Sam Levitt's Furniture.
Ooh, stylish.
Sam Levitt's Furniture has specials on a wide selection of recliners, so you can watch the game in style. You can check out a bunch of options at their Tucson locations. I'm thinking of getting one with swivel action.
Ooh.
But I kind of like the one I saw with cup holders.
Well, while Justin makes up his mind about which recliner he likes best, let's talk some sports.
From the Arizona Daily Star and Tucson.com, this is the Wildcast.
Welcome to another episode of the Wildcast Podcast, episode 95. Or as we like to call it around here, the official Final Four podcast of the Wildcast. And I predicted this at the beginning of the year, or the beginning of March Madness, that Arizona would be in this spot. But, Dom, as you pointed out when I said to you that I was going to be playing this song at the intro of the podcast, Arizona's going to make it into the one shining moment.
They will be
video.
In the video. They will be in
the
video.
Getting
their butts whooped by a 13 seed, but they'll be in it. They will be in the video.
Final Four is finally here, and we have Michigan taking on Loyola Chicago. Loyola Chicago coming out of the South region.
Yeah.
Pretty impressive. Thought?
And then, you had that, right?
Yeah, of course. If you didn't have it, you played yourself, which includes me. And then also on the other side, we have Villanova taking on Kansas. Before we get into the matchups and predictions and what have you, is Sister Jean overplayed? I mean, she's a 98-year-old chaplain who's like the team mascot. And she's been such a sensation. And the first week, I was like, this is great because – how often is a 98-year-old woman the main topic of discussion when it comes to March Madness?
Right.
And now I'm getting to the point where it's like, okay, she's cool. She's really cool. But why is this kind of being the spotlight for Loyola Chicago? Because I saw on Twitter today that the reason why I'm leading with this is because Sister Jean had a press conference today. Why is Sister Jean having her own press conference?
And, yeah, and on top of that, I can't disagree with you there.
But on top of that, there was like 100 reporters in the room. All like, you would have thought Sean Miller was having a press conference. Mm-hmm. Or
the Loyola's team.
Or exactly. And then there's another photo that showed Loyola Chicago, the players' press conference, and there was only 3 reporters, from what I could see in the picture, that were at the press conference. This is really unacceptable because this is such a big moment as a player, and yet you're having the shine completely taken away from you by a 98-year-old woman.
I don't disagree. I mean, I'm entirely on board with everything you're saying. I mean, the focus should be on the team, and I mean, they're incredible run, just the 4th 11 seed to make it to the Final Four, and I mean, they've done it in pretty phenomenal, heart-pounding fashion, but you look at Sister Jean, and she goes along with the spectacle. I mean, you can't talk about Loyola Chicago and their run through the tournament without talking about Sister Jean.
Yeah.
For better or for worse, I mean, you bring up one, the other one's going to come up. To your argument, I think if you bring up Loyola Chicago, you can't not talk about Sister Jean. But if you bring up Sister Jean, you're going to talk about Loyola's team, too?
Yeah.
I mean, I guess that would play into your argument, and I would agree with that, but yeah, I mean, this Loyola team, I mean, they go up against arguably the two hottest teams in college basketball right now, Michigan and Loyola Chicago. They've both been really fun to watch. Michigan coming off that big, almost surprising Big Ten championship win in the tournament, cruising through the tournament right now. I mean, they look as good as anyone alive right now.
My favorite player this whole tournament is Moritz Wagner, the 6'11 forward for Michigan. I mean, he's been dynamite, really. I had no idea who this guy was until Michigan went on their whole late season run.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting matchup, I would say, because Cameron Krutwig from Loyola Chicago, he's their big. He has not scored in double figures for Loyola Chicago the entire tournament. Actually, except for the first game against Miami, he had 11 points.
Okay.
If they want any shot at beating Michigan, this is your X factor right here. Loyola Chicago's got the guards.
Mm-hmm.
And they got the power of Sister Jean behind them. But going against Wagner, who is one of the hottest players in college basketball on one of the hottest teams in college basketball, how is Krutwig going to slow him down?
That remains to be seen. That's the question that could very well decide the game. A couple of interesting notes here about 11 seeds, because as I mentioned, Loyola, the fourth 11 to make it into the Final Four. You know what happened the last three. They all lost, only one of them by single digits. That was VCU against Butler, who was an 8 seed. The interesting part with Loyola Chicago, and people have been talking, you know, why are they the team that could finally burst the bubble and be the 11 seed that makes it to the championship? Looking at their tight games, we all know Loyola won the first two games in this tournament by 1 point. Was it three or two?
I think it was two.
It was at least the first two games won by one point. But Loyola Chicago this year, so looking at overall body of work, compared to the other three 11 seeds, their tight game winning percentage, just over 72% this year. That's over 10% higher than any other team, except George Mason, who was 63%. But they're 8-3 this year in games decided by 6 points or less. That's huge for Loyola Chicago, because they're obviously going to have to keep this close. If it gets out of hand, they're not going to be able to come back, because Michigan will shut you down. They're too tough inside. They're going to make Loyola score and beat them from the outside.
Sure.
And it's going to be too tough on this big of a stage. So they're going to have to stay close. They're 8-3 in games decided by 6 points or less. Also of note, they're the only 11 seed in the to make the Final Four who beat a top 25 team before the tournament. Remember, Loyola beat number 5 Florida at the time in Gainesville earlier this year. That was in December. So Loyola's got they're coming in with a bit of new history as an 11 seed, and they're looking to keep it rolling. Can they, Justin?
And if they were to break through that little bubble that you were talking about, you know,
We're still bursting bubbles.
The 11 seeds that come to mind when I think of the Cinderellas, VCU the 1 year, and then George Mason the other.
Right, right.
And, you know, maybe this kind of backfires on my Sister Jean argument, because they didn't have something like Sister Jean to take away the pressure and the attention from the players.
I didn't even think about that.
Maybe VCU, George Mason, once they got to that stage and they were like, holy crap, we are playing in a football stadium right now at the highest stage of college basketball. Maybe this is good for Loyola Chicago. I don't know. But I think they're going to win.
You do. You have Cinderella dancing.
I think Loyola Chicago is going to burst through that bubble.
They're one of the most entertaining teams we've seen in a long time. Definitely one of the best Cinderella stories in college basketball history. It would certainly be that if they could get by Michigan and into the national championship. On the other side of the bracket, though, we have Villanova and Kansas. The 2-1 seeds left. The number one, well, now I guess you could say the number one remaining seed left in Villanova since Virginia lost. seemed like a month ago, doesn't it? But yeah, I mean, you have college basketball's best in Villanova, and the true college blue blood in Kansas. Bill Self making it back to the Final Four since the last time Kansas won it, with Mario Chalmers at the helm.
Shout out!
So yeah, against Derrick Rose, right?
Yep.
Memphis in the championship. So look, this is going to be the heavyweight fight of the night. I mean, you got two teams who the winner of this game I think is going to decide the championship. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're two tough teams right now. Jalen Brunson and Villanova look borderline unbeatable. And until they get beaten, I'm going to go ahead and call them unbeatable, because they're that good. I mean, they have had, I don't want to say they haven't had any trouble, but they've looked as good as anybody, and they've made it look as easy as anybody in this tournament winning games. And Kansas, obviously, I mean, is going to be their toughest test to date in this tournament. West Virginia, I think, was a huge challenge for Villanova against that press defense. But I don't know. What do you think about Kansas, Justin? Because, like I said, Blue Blood, they've been here before. Bill Self, I mean, coached by Bill Self. But it's Jay Wright, too. I mean, you got two of the game's best coaches going head-to-head here.
Yeah. And shout-out to Mitch Lightfoot for Kansas. Mm-hmm. Tucson native, played one season at Ironwood Ridge High School, and then went up to Gilbert Christian, won a state title up there. We're actually going to talk to his former head coach, Brian Peabody. That's also Pima men's basketball coach. He's going to be joining the podcast here shortly. But I love this matchup because you have Devontae Graham and Jalen Brunson going toe-to-toe, which were a lot of people thought that, okay, if DeAndre Ayton or Trae Young or Jalen Brunson didn't get the AP National Player of the Year, it was going to be Devontae Graham. While Marvin Bagley at Duke was phenomenal, I mean, Devontae Graham and what he means for Michigan, or not Michigan, Kansas, mm-hmm. this year, I mean, he's one of the most valuable players in the country. Let's not get that mixed up. But the thing about Kansas and in years past, when they were favored to go deep in the tournament and they lose to teams like Mercer.
Mercer, yeah, they had, exactly.
They had one and done's. Mm-hmm. I mean, Kansas does have a really good recruiting class for this year, but they have the veterans on their team. And it's really made a nice blend for them.
Well, when you got Devontae Graham, that helps. I mean,
yeah, Devontae Graham helps.
Paired him with anyone, it's going to work out. But, I mean, that's obviously the matchup to watch this weekend. Him and Brunson. Azubuike, too, who's been playing lights out.
Yeah.
I mean, this Kansas team is as good as any as Bill Self has had, probably dating back to that Mario Chalmers team. I'd say there might even be a step ahead of that because – like you, I mean, Azubuike, Devontae Graham, they got so many options and all of them can score.
And you know what I think when I'm seeing Kansas at this point? How the heck did ASU beat them earlier this year? And ASU completely just fell off
in Kansas.
In Kansas. That really shows, I mean, Kansas didn't hit their potential at that point. But man, that was a hell of a win for ASU.
The thing with Kansas, and this is why I never pick them going to the Final Four, because Bill Self, and you mentioned it, they always get that one upset loss. And for one reason or another, they can never get past the Elite Eight. But now that they are, the pressure's kind of lifted a little bit. I mean, I haven't seen that. Do you know the line for this game off the top of your head?
No, I don't.
I mean,
I would assume it's like a four-point game. No more.
Yeah, I mean, probably in Villanova's favor, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, they're going to be entering this game as an underdog. I mean, even if they're favored by points, I mean, Villanova's the team to beat in this tournament, I think. And, I mean, that weight is lifted. Bill Self had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 straight Elite Eights Kansas had been to since the last time they won it and didn't make it to the Final Four any of those years. So,
wow.
Now that they're there, I think Bill Self can kind of relax. He can breathe. He's back. Where Kansas, but Blue Blood program, where they belong, and it's going to be one tough game. I mean, I have Villanova in this one, but it wouldn't surprise me at all if Kansas gets there. I mean, they're two of the best teams in the league. Mm-hmm. I mean, they've been the two best teams in the country all year, so.
And they got really talented players, like some of the best players in college basketball are on both teams right now. And even with Villanova, we were talking about Jalen Brunson when he won AP National Player of the Year. Mm-hmm. He's probably not even the most talented player on Villanova because you have Mikal Bridges.
Right.
Which, I mean, there's a boatload of talent everywhere
in San Antonio. Alone, that game's going to be insane.
Real quick, Loyola Chicago versus Michigan. Who do you got in that one?
I got Michigan.
Villanova, Kansas. Who do you got in that one?
I got to go Nova, but that's going to be one hell of a game. I'm really looking forward to that game.
I have Loyola Chicago and Villanova winning.
I thought you were going to go Kansas, but you got Nova. Okay.
I got Nova as well. I get the national championship game going on between two Catholic schools. This is the first time in like what?
I couldn't tell you.
Has there ever been all Catholic school?
I'm sure there's had to be, but we'll look into
like
that.
Duke Villanova. We'll look into
Duke
that.
Nova.
We'll look
okay.
into it.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. So I have Loyola Chicago versus Villanova. With Loyola Chicago winning.
You got Sister Jean.
I'm picking Sister
Jean. You open the podcast bashing Sister Jean, and you finish it with picking Sister Jean. Look, they have the ramps built up. Who was it? I forgot who tweeted it. Someone from the NCAA tweeted right after Villanova won, or Loyola Chicago won their Elite Eight game. They got the ramps built up on the Final Four court in San Antonio so Sister Jean can get up. You better believe they're hoisting her up there. They'll be carrying her around in a wheelchair in tow. She'll be on top of the dog pile. If that happens.
Are they going to lift her up in the wheelchair in, when they're cutting down the nets? They're going to, like, have, like,
just bring the basket down. Just bring the just basket lower down. Lower it and have her. She has to. That's a good call.
That'd be awesome.
I bet that happens. Even if they won, that Final Four game, they might, because they cut nets after that, too. So they might do it after that semifinal game. You got Loyola Chicago. That's bold. I got Michigan Villanova. I'm going to go Villanova all the way. Best team in college safe basketball call. From day one. I'll go safe.
Safe call.
You're off the walls. Sister Jean, a lot of love out here in Tucson from a guy who was bashing you just 10 minutes ago. But I will say this. Bill Self, the one other time that Kansas has been in the Final Four as a one seed under Bill Self, they won the national title. That was in 08. So, look, I'm picking Villanova, but if Kansas wins that game, they're winning the national title. I say the winner between Villanova and Kansas wins it. As hot as Michigan's been, I just think, I mean, at some point, sure, we can all sit here and say the hottest team usually wins in March. But when you face the talent, when you go up against the talent like Villanova and like Kansas has, especially in Villanova, who's been here, done it, and won a national championship before just 2 years ago, that flame runs out pretty quick when you hit that wall of Kansas or Villanova. So winner of that semifinal wins it all. I'm going Villanova, though.
Okay. Villanova. Safe call. I got the off the wall call.
I hope it's Loyola and Villanova in the title game now, just so we can go at it.
That'd be awesome.
Anyways, we got Brian Peabody coming up.
Let's go ahead and get Coach Peabody on, huh?
Absolutely.
Let's do it. All right. And joining us all the way out from San Antonio, the Final Four, 21 Final Fours in a row this man has been to. And he's also the head coach of Pima Men's Basketball, Brian Peabody. Brian, thanks for joining the podcast.
You're welcome. My pleasure.
All right, Brian. So what a time to be you. I mean, think about it. You take Pima to its first national title game, and on top of that, you have a former player playing in the Final Four right now. I mean, it's. Can you just talk about the life of Brian Peabody?
It's really good, man. It's just, I think it's a lot of hard work coming in all in at one time, you know, for us and my staff. You know, I've had the same two guys for 27 years, Mike Morgan and Matt Minder as my assistants, and we're sitting here reminiscing about it. And it's just a lot of accumulation of a lot of hard work and dedication on everybody's part. And then for Mitch to get here, it's just, you know, icing on the cake to be able to watch Mitch Lightfoot from Kansas, you know, be in the Final Four. So it's kind of come full circle for everybody, and we're just enjoying every moment of it.
What was the journey like for you, before we talk about Mitch Lightfoot, what was the journey like for you this season, you know, taking a team to places it's never been before?
Well, I think the biggest thing for me is, you know, when I took the job 5 years ago, they had won one game the previous year and two games before that. And I said, you can look it up on record, I said, hey, we're going to win a national championship. And everybody thought I was crazy. And then we go from year one, win 15 games, and 18, and 20, and then 23 last year, and then 31, and we just got progressively better. And I just thought, you know, back then, that Pima had a chance to be something special. And, you know, we've proven that with, like I said, with hard work, and it continued to be special. I mean, Tucson is a special place, a community. You saw the outreach and support that we got through the community and people even in San Antonio, I've had like 100 people come up to me and say, oh, we saw Pima. I went to Pima. I have some of the, people know Pima College.
Wow.
And so it's just kind of fun.
So, Coach, how does your message to your team after a championship and after a Final Four run, how does your message to your team vary from, because correct me if I'm wrong, you got all five starters heading out after this year. So what's your message to, I mean, the five starters leaving and then your incoming guys who redshirted this year who are stepping into the starting roster next year?
Yeah, well, that and the other four guys. So we played nine guys all year long. So the other four guys that didn't start are all freshmen. You know, LeBron, you know, Carrasco and Jeremiah Bailey and Robbie Wilson and Al Clark are all coming back, and they were huge, you know, factors for our team. So we got basically another starting five that was just sitting there coming back, and then all the red shirts, and then our recruiting right now is off the charts. I mean, we're, you know, nobody wanted to go to Pima 5 years ago. Now people want to go to Pima. So we, you know, we think we've signed the two best kids out of, we think, the two best kids out of Tucson, Addison Mort and Sammy Leglu, I think, are going to commit to Pima. And then we have, you know, a kid from California, a kid from Vegas that are coming in. So, I mean, this thing can be really good. And it can, you know, continue to be good. Like, I don't, you know, people say, oh, it's a one-hit wonder. And that's not true. I mean, you know, we made the national tournament last year. We made it again this year. And we've accomplished a lot. We've had a lot of firsts. And, you know, Murphy Gershman 4 years ago was the first academic basketball player, All-American in the program's history. Deion James last year was the first national player of the year in any sport in the history of Pima College. And then this year, with the amount of wins that we had, 18 in conference and 31 overall, and to get to the finals. So this thing can continue to go. I mean, we just, you know, you just can't sleep on anything. And that's why, you know, we got back Sunday night. And I was in the office Monday morning. I had two recruits on campus, and we're just going to continue to try to make this thing special.
So, I mean, how does that work? Because it's pretty phenomenal when you look at your guys' body of work over the last few seasons. You know, 2 years ago, you were ranked number 7 in the country. This year, obviously, your Final Four run. And the last 2 years, you've lost your entire starting five. So how do you keep on? I mean, is it just a matter of recruiting? Or what's your magic touch that you got over there at Pima?
There's a bunch of things that go into it. So when I was here in 04, I was dealt a team. So I, you know, I became the head coach of Pima College in 04, and the previous coach just gave me a team, and I didn't get to recruit anybody. Not one guy on their roster was from me, and it was the worst year of my life. I mean, there was no character, no hard work, and I just said, you know, if I ever get back to the junior college level, I'm going to do it differently. Well, I'm going to recruit high-character kids, which we do. So all my guys are graduating. They're going to class. They're doing the right thing. They're fun to be around. So high character is, I think, by far the biggest stamp on our program, where people come in and say, you know, we love watching you guys play. Or if we go to a restaurant, you know, the waitress comes up, says, you guys act the right way, they're respectful, and all that stuff, you know, means a great deal to me. And I think on the other thing, the other side of that is, I think having redshirt guys is huge. So, you know, we had 5 last year, we have 7 this year. And so you just get, you get a year basically to play college basketball. So they, you know, they practice with us and travel and all that kind of stuff. And then, like, Biggs was a third-year guy. Alunga Mois was a third-year guy. Robbie Wilson is, an older guy. And I think just that 1 year to mature and learn how to go to college and learn how to practice hard and learn how to lift weights, I think it's huge. It just helped us. And so I think having, you know, the guys sitting for a year and just observing and then get hungry to play has been a big key to our success.
Probably your best player this year was Kevin Biggs. And, I mean, I watched Kevin ever since he played at Cienega High School, and he's always been known for his athleticism and in his defense. What is something about him that has made him have a special career at Pima, and what can we expect out of him in the future?
Yeah, no, he was the heart and soul of our team. I mean, he's an unbelievable kid. And last year when we beat Phoenix in the finals to go to the national tournament, his dad, you know, came up and gave me a hug. And I said, you know what, because of Kevin, we're going to get back. And I really meant that. Because of the type of kid he is, you know, he had to sit for 9 months because of his injury, yeah, and just worked his tail end off, and he's just an unbelievable kid. But I think the future fall for him, he's got, you know, a bunch, he's got 22, I think, Division II offers right now, and then here in San Antonio, you know, I've run into a billion coaches. I think he's got, he's going to get some Division I offers. So, you know, the future is really bright for this kid. I mean, he does everything just the right way, high character. Parents are, you know, raised him the right way. And I think he's going to end up on a D1 roster here shortly.
Coach, all I'm saying is that, I mean, the school up the road has six players leaving. I mean, could you see Kevin possibly playing in the Pac-12?
I mean, it's a stretch.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is. And, again, it goes back – I think a lot of it goes back to how you play.
Yeah.
And, you know, Kevin fits our system really well. He's a catch-and-shoot guy. You know, he shot 253s this year, shot 40% from the three-point line. He was a catch-and-shoot guy, straight-line driver. You know, here I come. You know, what are you going to do to stop me? He's not a dribble-drive guy, that type of deal. And he really, you know, fits our system really well, just kind of very similar to Emilio Seda last year where, you know, Emilio – is at Colorado Mesa, and in his first college game, he goes and drops 33 on Colorado State, you know, Division I team. Very similar to that, where he just can catch and shoot. So, you know, the next coach is going to have to understand what he's getting. He's not getting a dribble drive, guys. It's not going to be a pick and roll, all that kind of stuff. It's going to be a guy that can just catch and shoot it, or here I come at you, what are you going to do about it?
Yeah.
I think, if I was a Division I coach, I would take Kevin Biggs. I would take Kevin, the two guys on my roster that I think, you know, are D1 ready right now, right to second, are Kevin Biggs and Alize Travis.
Oh, nice. Coach, now let's go ahead and go over to the Final Four part of this discussion. You were a former head coach for Mitch Lightfoot, who's currently playing for Kansas. You were his head coach at Ironwood Ridge. Can you just talk about your relationship with Mitch over the last few years and just kind of the player he's blossomed into?
Yeah, Mitch is a heck of a player, and the thing that the reason me and Mitch get along so well is he's a workaholic, and he's really a tough kid, and just, you know, no nonsense. Come in the gym, I got an hour, let's get to work, and then I'm going on to the next thing. And you know, I unfortunately, because I went to a different direction and he went to a different direction, I didn't get to coach him throughout his career. But the 1 year that I did coach him, he was a freshman. He started every game for us, and he's just a heck of a player. And I hope, you know, nothing for the best for him. I hope Kansas beats Villanova tomorrow.
Yeah, do you have a memory of Mitch Lightfoot from when you guys were together?
Yeah, like I said, he had a toughness about him. And, probably not a good memory for a lot of people, but he grabbed a rebound and, was chinning the basketball, and one of his own teammates came to like grab the ball from him, and accidentally, not by purpose, you know, he knocked the kid out. I mean, he just he turned a pivot, and the poor kid ended up on the ground. And it just that's just kind of the player that Mitch was. You needed to get out of his area, out of his surroundings, and not get close to him. And that was one of the memories that I have of Mitch.
So, awesome. I mean, for those wondering how big Mitch Lightfoot is, there's your answer.
exactly.
So, obviously, one of your goals as coach at a community college like this is to see players, I mean, go on and succeed, not only on the court but off the court. What would it mean for you, Coach Brian Peabody, to see Mitch Lightfoot, if he does get playing time in San Antonio this week, what would that mean for you?
It's a great feeling as a coach. I mean, part of the coaching is watching your kids go on after high school or after junior college and blossom into, you know, their next step in life. And you, at, you know, at PM and every kid that has played for me, you try to teach them how to be a man. And, you know, and Mitch is learning how to be a man and going through adversity. And, you know, if you watch his career, it's been really up and down at Kansas. You know, he was starting some game, then came off the bench and starting. And that's just to his testament. He's a high-character kid where whatever Bill Self asked of him, you know, he did. You know, now he's accepting a role, and he may or may not play tomorrow, but he's accepting that role. And that's hard to do.
Yeah.
People don't realize, you know, when these kids are stars in high school and then they go to the college level and you ask them to be a ninth guy ready to play whenever, that's not easy to do, you know, ego-wise and all that stuff. And I think he's really accepted it really well and done whatever Coach Self has asked. And that's, I think, one of the reasons that Kansas is in the position they are in, you know, in the Final Four.
Coach, 21 straight Final Fours you've been to. I think everyone listening to this podcast right now remembers what Final Four was 21 years ago in 1997. But what's your favorite moment, not necessarily on the court, but just a favorite, your favorite memory of the last 21 Final Fours you've been to?
It's by far the, you know, the 97 when Wildcats. I was walking, you know, by, you know, we went to the game and my whole staff was there, and we're walking by the hotel where Rosboro and Coach Olson were, and you know, there was a security guard in there, and I didn't think we'd get in, and Roz happened to be walking by for whatever reason. He's like, "Hey, coach, come on in." So we go into their room, and you know, Olson is there with Bobby and Roz and the whole staff, and having a good time, and you know, we're just young pups at the time, and I'll never forget it, Bobby Olson. It was me and Mike Morgan, my assistant that's been with me forever. It's like, you know, 4 o'clock in the morning or something like that. And she's like, "You guys have to leave. Coach Olson is doing Good Morning America, and he's not going to leave until, or go to sleep until you guys leave. You guys got to get out of here."
That's so awesome.
Keeping Coach Olson up, I like it.
So how many times has the Final Four been in San Antonio since then?
I think this is the second or third time since then.
Okay. What's the best Final Four city?
San Antonio.
Really? Nice.
Yeah, the Riverwalk is. I just like, you know, because you get to see when it's spread out, then you don't get to see all your buddies and friends and stuff that you've made throughout the years in coaching college. But San Antonio, you know, every hotel is on the Riverwalk, so you walk up and down, and you see guys running to coaches that you haven't seen in 20 years. It's really cool. I would say either San Antonio or Indianapolis. Indianapolis is, you know, the same way. You know, you get to some of these, like when you went to, you know, Dallas. Dallas was so spread out, you never saw anybody. You know,
yeah.
The games were out at, you know, a different place and stuff. But I would say San Antonio, Indianapolis are the best ones.
You riding with Kansas this week?
You know what? Yeah, I mean, yeah. If I was a betting man, I just like Villanova's team. I just think their toughness is good. I just love the way Villanova plays. Obviously, I hope Mitch wins, but you know, if I had to bet on it, I think Villanova's toughness might prevail and get them a title.
Not feeling Sister Jean, huh? Who's Villanova playing?
Kansas.
Yeah. Kansas. And then
Michigan.
Do you have Loyola Chicago beating Michigan?
No.
You have Michigan winning. And then you have Villanova beating Michigan.
I think it runs out right here. I think Michigan's good. They're too good defensively. I think Michigan's good. I think it's going to be Michigan and Villanova.
Not too bad. All right, Coach Peabody. Well, I'm sorry we had to cut into happy hour time. You go out there. You enjoy San Antonio. Enjoy the Final Four. And congratulations to all your success that's been happening to you and your program over the last few years.
No, I appreciate it. Can I give a shout out to my people in Tucson?
Absolutely.
Well, we have very few sponsors in Tucson at Pima, you know, at Pima College basketball. The Sasa Deli takes care of us. Bob Dobbs takes care of us. Ralph's takes care of us. Then obviously the whole community of Tucson. The support they gave us this last month was unbelievable. I've never seen anything like it. So I just want to thank a lot of people there.
Hey, Sauces Deli, best pastrami sandwich in Tucson. I'm telling you right there.
I totally agree. I got back from Danville. I ate there. We came here on Thursday. I ate there Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday before we left to the Final Four. It's the best.
Heck yeah. All right, Coach Peabody, thank you for joining the podcast, and definitely let's stay in touch.
That sounds good. Thanks, guys.
Take care.
Have a good one. Thanks, Coach.
All right. Well, that will do it for the official Final Four episode of the Wildcast podcast. Don't forget to subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts, like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, and like us or follow us on Instagram. We have a new Instagram page. Go ahead and follow us on there. For Dom, I'm Justin. We'll see you next time.